It's a pleasure to wish you and Emily again tonight. If you have a Bible with you, can you come please to Mark's Gospel, and chapter 5, Mark's Gospel, and we'll read from chapter 5. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, and we'll read from verse 1. And he came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I do thee, by God, that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much, but he would not send him away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us unto the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that had fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had a legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And he that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their course. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them great things that the Lord hath done for thee, and had compassion on thee. And he departed, and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Now we do know that God will bless the reading of his holy word this evening. Now today is an important day, particularly in America. The 4th of July is American Independence Day. In 1776, that was when America declared independence from Britain, from the English King. But tonight, really the title that I want to put over the message tonight is Independence Day. And I want to look back to, well, I can look back to a time when I was just 7 years old, the time in my bed after a gospel meeting like this, and accept the Lord Jesus as my saviour, and that really was my Independence Day. Because independence from sin and from the bondage of sin. And tonight, if you're still not a Christian, if you're still not accept the Lord Jesus as your saviour, tonight, the 4th of July, 2010 could be your Independence Day. Now, this story that we've read is of a man with an unclean spirit, a man of Gadara. Some people might call him the maniac of Gadara. He is, and he has an unclean spirit. And he has an encounter with the Lord Jesus in our story here. Now, in the same way that God has angels, the devil has basically demons, unclean spirits that do the devil's will. So with this great battle, God against the devil, God has angels, and the devil has his demons. Now, I don't know if people are possessed with the devil in the same way as this man was here, but this man here was possessed with unclean spirit, a demon, and he becomes a lunatic in this day, and a lunatic in this day also. So here he was, he had unclean spirit. So man was in bondage to the evil spirit. He had to perform the evil spirit's will. So what I would want to suggest to you tonight is, I won't suggest anyone here with an unclean spirit, but each person here is a sinner. And because of our sin, we're in bondage to sin. And the same way this man's bondage to unclean spirit, in the story here, we're in bondage because of our sins. Now whether we're aware of it or not, if we're not sent to our Jesus as our saviour, we're in just the devil's kingdom. We're not in God's kingdom. We're serving the devil's will, whether we're aware of it or not. And those of us that have been saved, we've been translated from the world of darkness into light, and we're serving God and the Lord Jesus. Now there's been a great battle that's been fought already at the cross, and the Lord Jesus defeated the devil, defeated death, defeated sin. So the battle's already won in a sense. So if you're still in the devil's kingdom tonight, you're on the losing side of the battle. And those that accept the Lord Jesus as our Saviour on the winning side of the battle. Now, as I said already, the devil's defeated already. He's in hell, he's defeated. He's biding his time. There's going to be a judgment thing for him. But really, what he wants for those that are in his kingdom is to stop them accepting the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. That's his great aim, to stop as many people as possible believing the straight message of the gospel that we could tell you about tonight. That Jesus sent his Son to die on the cross for our sins, and the devil's out to stop you tonight believing this message. He's out to blind you to the message of the gospel. So, we can see here that the man here he's in bondage to the devil. He doesn't have the control of his own actions. And we, because of our sin, we're in bondage to sin. But what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 34, he says, "Verily, verily," which means truly, truly, "I say unto you, whosoever hath committed sin is a servant of sin." So if you still listen tonight, we're servants of sin. It controls us. From the moment we're born, just at the first, first word that a little boy, a little baby, boy or girl will say is no. They'll learn to say it very quickly. And they say, but born of sinners, all born of sinners. And we go on to sin in our lives, and we're bondage to it. So this man here, he's in bondage, and he needs to meet the Lord Jesus. And that's you tonight. If you're still in the bondage of your sins, then you need to meet the Lord Jesus tonight, and same with this man right here. Now, in the Gospels, we read a lot about people who met the Lord Jesus. One man who received his sight, one man walked, people had leprosy, and they were cleansed of that leprosy. The Lord Jesus was able to heal them all. But really, the point I want to bring tonight is, whatever physical difficulties that they had, really the underlying problem that they had was that they were sinners. There's a story in the Bible, in the Gospels, there was a man sick of a palsy. There he was, bedbound, and he had four friends that said, we're going to help you, we're going to take you to see this man Jesus. And he took him one on each side of the bed. He couldn't get near Jesus because of the crowd. So what they did was they wore the man, it's a well-known story, through the roof, and there, into the presence of Jesus. But when Jesus sees him, He doesn't heal him first of all. What he says is, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." So really, this man's underlying problem, our underlying problem is the fact that we're sinners. So he gave his sins first, and later on he says, "Take up thy bed and walk." So whatever the difficulties we have in our life that can be caused by sin, really the underlying problem is the sin. It's the sin problem that we dealt with. And these people were freed from the bondage of these problems out of their sin. Now in verse 3 to 5, we read really about the terrible state this man was in his life. He was really misery, wasn't he, this man, in the story here? Uncontrollable, miserable, dangerous to himself, and the grip of his devil. Now that's really like us, still in our sins. We're not able to do anything for ourselves. Man here was not able to do anything for himself. He was bound. when did the unclean start? Now, in verse 3 of our story here, it says, they met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. He had been dwelling among the tombs. So really, he was dwelling among the dead people who had been buried. And really, the point I want to bring out of that is that this man, in a spiritual sense, is dead in his sins. And really, he's dwelling among the tombs of people. But really, as it was still in a sin tonight, we're spiritually dead. Really, the sin is dead, is death. And if we're not saved to the Lord Jesus, we're just dying in our sins. In a spiritual sense, we're dead in our sins. And that's where the man was here. Now, it's a well-known story. I think the last time I was here, I may have spoken on this. The story of the children of Israel were in bondage in Israel. They were slaves in Israel. And under the hard taskmaster of the Egyptians, they had to serve day and night. And that's really us, because of our sin. This man here, he had no freedom. It tells you the life that he lived. Often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains that had been put asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. So really, you have no contentment, you have no joy in his life, you have no... you have no freedom. And really, that's just like us, because of our sins. We're helpless to do anything for ourselves. And sin, I think, causes misery in people's lives. We know about the drug addicts and people are alcoholics. But really, that these are things that get all the attention, but really, people have all manner of problems in their lives. But the underlying cause of these is a sin in their life. Now, I'm going to come back to the story of the Son of Israel a bit later on, when we speak about how this man was freed, and he had his Independence Day, and he was basically a redemption from his from serving the devil here. Now, there's a word of a song. It's quite fitting, really. Compared to basically the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, but really us, because of our sin, we're in a far greater state. We're in a far worse state. There's words of this song, and we have no redemption wars, from bondage worse than theirs by far, sin held us by a stronger cord, yet by thy mercy, free we are. Now, as I said, we'll come back to Israel a bit later on. But really, I want to get to continue with the story here about the unclean spirit. Now, in verse 7 of our story here, the unclean spirit sees Jesus afar off, he runs and he worships him. And he says in verse 7, "Thou Son of the Most High God." Now, he was a demon, basically a servant of the devil, but he recognised who Jesus was. He recognised that Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. So really, the question to you tonight is, do you recognise who Jesus really is? Is he just a man? Son of God? Is he just maybe an angel that came down and lived a good life, but he's not God himself? So if you're going to be delivered from your sin tonight, you have to let yourself over here, you have to recognise that Jesus is the Son of God. He came as a man, born in a manger, but really he was God. He went all that way to the place of Calvary. So we need to recognise who Jesus is, the Son of God. Now, the second question that the demon asks here is, what have I to do with thee? What have I to do with thee? Now, when the Lord Jesus was here, people didn't want anything to do with him and said, "We will not have this man to reign over us. Crucify him." That was the response then. It's the response largely now in the world. What will your response be tonight to the Lord Jesus? What do you say, away with this man? Or what do you like this man here at the end of the story, as we'll read later on? Come to the Lord Jesus. And come forward to the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 8, Lord Jesus, he commands the unclean spirit to come out of this man. And in verse 9, he says, what is thy name? Now, this is quite a surprising thing, isn't it? You think, why would Lord Jesus ask the demon's name? Well, the point I want to bring out of this really is that the Lord Jesus even asked the demon his name. And the Lord Jesus has an interest in each person here individually. He wants to know us by name. He knows everything about us already, but he wants to have a personal relationship with each one of us, whereby we know him by name, and he knows us by name. And he's got an interest in you personally. He wants to each person here personally accept the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, and come into a personal relationship with God. Now, in verse 10 to 13, the unclean spirit entered into the swine, out of the run into the sea and are drowned. But then, in verse 14 and 15, the owners of the swine, they go and tell people what's happened here. In verse 15, the people of the country come and see Jesus. And see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting in court in his right mind, and they were afraid. So that should send all Jesus away. They came, they said, they've seen the great transformation in this man, they've seen the power that the Lord Jesus had. And perhaps you tonight, you've seen other people accept the Lord Jesus, you've seen the change in their life, but you're saying, really, that's not for me, I don't want that. That was the people here, they sent all Jesus away. So what would your response be tonight? When you write people here? You say, we've seen what Lord Jesus could do. This transformation in this man's life, a man that's uncontrollable and misery, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, holding in his right mind, joyful. Do you want that? Do you want the joy that this man had? Now, in John chapter 8, verse 36, Lord Jesus says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. So what that's really saying is, if the Lord Jesus sets you free from your sins tonight, you'll do it fully, completely. No half measures. And that's what you really need. Now, I was speaking again about a day when I was 7 years old, and I was freed of the body of my sin. And many people here have looked back to a day like that, and it'd be good if you've not accepted Lord Jesus as your Saviour tonight, could look back to that day. And that's that verb. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Now, in Luke's account of this story, Luke's Gospel, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. This is the story of Mark's Gospel, but in Luke's Gospel, we hear the account of the story as well. There's an extra phrase I need here, and it says that the man was sitting at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to come back to this in a minute or two, sitting at the feet of Jesus. But we've seen that this man was freed from his bondage of the unclean spirit here by the Lord Jesus. So, how can we be free of a bondage of sin, of a slavery to sin? Now, I'm going to come back to this story of the son of Israel, the son of Israel in Egypt. There were slaves there, but there came a time that God says, I'm going to take my people out of this slavery. And what he did is he sent a man called Moses, and there were 10 plagues, and last of all, there was what we call the Passover, where for some reason, Israel were told to take a lamb, they were to scrutinise it, and had to be without spot and without blemish. And they were to kill that lamb, and they were to take the blood, and they were to put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And God said that, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Because an angel was going to come that night, any houses that had the blood, they would pass over. But any houses that didn't have the blood, then firstborn in that house would be killed. And by this Passover, because all the children of Israel, they had the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, but the Egyptians didn't have this. So an angel came and killed all the firstborn of the Egyptians. Pharaoh, the king of the Egyptians, allowed the people to go. And God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, but by his great deliverance, but really, it's on the basis of the blood of this lamb. And the Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And when the children of Israel came out, Moses and all the people sang this song, "The Lord hath triumphed gloriously, for the horse and the rider had he cast into the sea." So that was a great triumph by God there. But really, the Lord Jesus Christ has come to a far greater triumph at the cross. He died on the cross, and it was a triumph over sin, over death. He paid the penalty of sin there, and he rose again, and he defeated death there, and he defeated the devil. But really, it's the basis of blood. If you can come to the Lord Jesus, the man here was freed, freed of his bondage by the Lord Jesus. But when we come, we'll have to come to the feet of Jesus, to the foot of that cross where he died there, and on the basis of that shed blood, we can have our sins forgiven. And if you come to that cross and say, "Look, I'm a sinner, I believe that you died for my sins." And if you do that, then you can be free like this man here. So freed of bondage, freed of the servitude to sin, freed of the misery to sin, and this could be your Independence Day, like this man here. Now, there's an example. There's a man called John Newton. He was the captain of a slave ship. It's a well-known story. Captain of a slave ship. And there was a great storm, and he thought he was going to die. And really, he prayed to God at that time, and he says, he prayed to God that he'd be delivered out of the storm. And really, he was delivered out of the storm, and as a result of that, it really convicted him of his sin before God. And he accepted the Lord Jesus as his Saviour. And he went on to serve God in his life. But he wrote a hymn, and the words of this hymn, I'll just read you some of the words of this hymn. "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed." Now really, like John Newton here, if we're still in our sins, we're basically wretched in God's sight, God cannot abide sin, and our spirits are blind. But like John Newton there, except the Lord Jesus, if our spirits are blind, but then he could see, he was lost, he was found, he was freed from bondage of his sin. Now, see the amazing grace? Now, grace is something that's freely given that we don't deserve. And we don't come to the foot of that cross on the basis of anything that we've done. On the basis of good works. It's good to do good works, but that's not the basis on which we can be saved. We come accepting that there's nothing else that we can do for ourselves. We come there, we accept we're sinners, accept this gift of God. The part of the verse that I read earlier say that the wages of sin is death. The beginning of that verse is, or the end of that verse is, the gift of God is eternal life. So the gift that we need to accept. Now the people here in verse 17, as we said earlier, they send Lord Jesus away. That's quite sad, isn't it? They send the Lord Jesus away. I want to come down now to verse 19. And Lord Jesus is speaking to the man that's been freed of his bondage to the unclean spirit, and says, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and have had compassion on thee. Yeah, I just want to think about this word, compassion. Now, it might be tonight that you're looking for message tonight and you're thinking, well, if God has compassion, then surely he'll just forgive me of my sins. I don't need to do anything. He'll just say, well, that's all right. I forgive you. I love you. I'll forgive you. And you might say, well, where is the God of compassion that would judge me? Now, I'm sure we know, even with the laws in our land, the laws in our land are godless in many, many ways now, but even with the laws of the land, if it's us that are in court, we would like to see compassion, wouldn't we? But I'm sure we see this in the newspapers and the action on the news and everything like that. If it's someone else that's committed a crime, we like to see them getting punished, don't we? They say, well, if they've committed that crime, they have to be punished. And really, in a sense, it's really like that with our sins. God's a holy God, and we're sinners. He can't abide sin. We're separated from God because of our sins. There's this great gulf. And the only way that we can bridge that gap is on the basis of the death of the Lord Jesus, that place called Calvary. But someone has to take the punishment for those sins. And what God did was he laid that punishment on his own son at that place called, on the cross, as was said. So instead of punishing us for our sins, he punished his son. And it's just like that Passover where, when I see your blood, I will pass over you. Now, I found the words of this hymn, I think it's quite fitting to what we're speaking about here. I'll just read you some of these words. What kind of love is this that gave itself for me? I am the guilty one, yet I go free. What kind of love is this? A love I've never known. I didn't even know his name. What kind of love is this that died in agony? He who had done no wrong was crucified for me. What kind of man is this? He laid aside his throne, that I may know the love of God. What kind of man is this? By grace I have been saved. It is a gift of God. He destined me to be his son. Such is his love. No eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard, nor has the heart of man conceived. What kind of love is this? Now, that's the message I want to bring you tonight. But a God of love, to free this man from the bondage of unclean spirit, and to free us from the bondage of our sins. But really, it's an independence day I want to tell you about. Independence from slavery. But when we're saved, we're born to God's family. We're no longer servants to sin, but we're sons of God. And that's the position that we're brought into, except God Jesus as our Saviour. Two people might say about the gospel, well, Christians, it's not a life I want, it's a boring life, it's just, the class it is almost like a slavery to serve God. But really, to be still in our sins is slavery. But to be brought in a family, to class as the Son of God, if we've got into relationship with God, then that's what we want for you tonight. So that's really the end of the message. As I said at the beginning, the title really was Independence Day. And I pray indeed that if there's someone here tonight that have not set towards you as their Saviour, that tonight could be your Independence Day from sin. And just closing prayer. Our God and Father, we come before you this night and thank you indeed for thy Son, Lord Jesus. Think of this message of the gospel. Think of this man that was bound by this unclean spirit. And think of us, we're slaves to sin, servants to sin, but yet, on the basis of the blood of thy Son, Lord Jesus, shed on Calvary's cross, like indeed that in that Passover story all those years ago, But when I say, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And when I receive the body of my Son, Lord Jesus, if we come in simple faith and believe that He died for our sins, we will have our sins forgiven. And pray for each person here, if there's someone here, be from the oldest to the youngest, that is still not taking that step, that will just come here, as we said, simple faith. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So these things we ask in the name of our Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, we'll sing a verse of hymn in closing. Hymn number 78. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil or victory won? There's wonderful power in the blood. Now we'll sing a whole hymn after introduction and we'll just remain seated.